Welcome back. Time to talk about the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche take a loss in Minnesota, but they had won six straight before that, playing very well. A lot of moves obviously made during the trade deadline. We have a chance to talk with our friend Eric Dean from Ringside with Eric Dean. And Eric, thanks so much. I know your hair looks fabulous. All the stuff that I don't here. I got the whole cue ball thing. So you're looking good. But, hockey, I saw about the flow. I get it. But when you're talking about this team now, let's put the Minnesota game aside, unless you think any differently than I do. To me, this looks like an Avs team that's playing back-to-back. You traveled. You had won six in a row. It's hard to win seven. You ran into a goalie that got hot and a team that, quite frankly, knows how to play with a lead. Happens. The Avs, who I thought had a really good first 10, 15 minutes of the game. They couldn't quite get that lead they wanted, and the energy went down. I look at that one and say, that's, if not a schedule loss close to it, I don't think you learn a lot from it, except that it's nice to not have played back-to-backs, right?
Yeah, and you got a point out of it, and end of story. Like, that's...
Yeah,
I think that's the most you want to talk about that. Yeah, like, they got a goal at the end. They didn't lose 1-0 in regulation. They gave up only one goal in 65 minutes. They got the goal. They got the point. No issues with that game for me.
Now we take a look at the Avs post-trade deadline. A lot of different guys come in. Nelson, Coyle, Lindgren, VZ, and, of course, the return of Eric Johnson. But this dramatically changes the line. When you talk about the number of guys that have gone out, I mean, the Avs have set a new record for the number of players who've worn the sweater in a season. They have switched out both their goaltenders. By my count, if I'm not mistaken, from the opening day roster to today, 19 guys out of those 45 have in one way either moved on or been down to the minors. It is a tremendous amount of turnover for a single season. But remarkably, by going and getting some of these veteran guys, it's kind of been plug and play for the Avs. It doesn't look like there's a lot of need to ramp up and get caught up with each other.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, the Avalanche have precisely what they want, which is 14 NHL-capable forwards, 8 NHL-capable defensemen, and 2 goaltenders that you can play on any given night and love the way that they look in the crease. So, don't get me wrong, they gave up a ton of capital to get to this point, but for them to have that here on March 13th, a month before their regular season finale on April 13th, is remarkable in every single way.
Now they are getting healthier as well, which is obviously a good sign. You know, if anything happens with Gabriel Landeskog, that's terrific. That'd be probably an LTIR move, which means if you did hear anything, it'll be very late. But the Avs at this point, that's what you're saying, I think, is important takeaway, because it's felt for a while, they're like, well, then maybe they can get Landeskog back. Quite frankly, and I mean no disrespect to Gabriel Landeskog, who's been a singular player for the Colorado Avalanche. Like you said, the roster right now is capable. They're really on. They now, when you add guys like Nelson and Coyle and Lindgren, you add a physicality that you didn't necessarily have before. You have an opportunity to play teams that are a little more physical with you in a different way. So not that you don't have to match every team and try to outskate everybody. There are certain teams you can get the forecheck going. You can muck up the middle of the ice. You can start punching back in the way that the Avs, at least over the last couple seasons, really haven't been able to in some of these playoff battles.
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing for me, I did a podcast yesterday where I talked about how, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was writing on ColoradoHockeyNow.com about if this season is worth saving and kind of looking at that compared to where we are now. And the argument that I made was simply this. You had 3 defensemen and an injured Josh Manson that you trusted. You had 4 forwards that were slotted in appropriately and an injured Val Nichushkin that you didn't know when he was going to come back. And I was questioning if the season was worth saving. And I even made the argument, even if you trade Casey Mittelstadt and go out and get a second line center like they did with Brock Nelson, you still have a little bit of a hole in your bottom six, because had it not been for the Charlie Coyle acquisition, and let's say in this made up scenario, Mittelstadt was part of the trade that brought in Brock Nelson, you would have still had a bottom six where your final 2 centermen are Jack Drury and Parker Kelly. You would have still had a bottom six where Joel Kiviranta and Ross Colton are your third line wingers. Well, suddenly, just by bringing in Charlie Coyle, suddenly it all slots in appropriately. Logan O'Connor's your fourth line right winger, which is exactly where he was when you won the cup. Miles Wood, Jimmy Vesey, and Parker Kelly are fighting for that left winger spot on the fourth line. And Parker Kelly, to me, is an unbelievable player to have on that role, especially on the wing. Jack Jury slots in appropriately. Yoel Kiviranta slots in. Ross Colton, the centerman, is Charlie Coyle. He's this big behemoth of a veteran who has played top 6 minutes in the past. Like, just by bringing in that extra centerman and an extra body in Jimmy Vesey, it all kind of works now. And it's the same thing you did on defense. You needed somebody who can play 20 minutes. You got Ryan Lindgren. You needed an extra body, just like Jimmy Vesey at forward. You got Eric Johnson. Is Eric Johnson going to play every night? No, but he obviously, there's a whole nother aspect of what he brings to this team that's aside from the on-ice play. But just like Jimmy Vesey, he gives you another option at forward. He lets everybody else slot in appropriately. It's masterclass work. And the reality is, we could be talking about masterclass work, and in 6 weeks from now, I can be on this podcast talking about how they got swept by the Dallas Stars. Who the heck knows how it goes? Yeah. The reality is, one of two things are going to happen. The team that traded for Mikko Rantanen at the trade deadline, or the team that completely redid their roster, one of them's out in round one.
I know, and that's the crazy part, because it does feel absolutely just inevitable that we're going Avalanche Stars again. Mikko Rantanen versus his former team. I mean, this is going to be remarkable. It's almost at this point kind of unavoidable, isn't it? Unless the Avs were to somehow collapse and Minnesota were to pass them. Doesn't feel like that's the case. So I know they have the Flames on Friday. Let's not, you know, ignore that, but let's look at that extraordinarily likely first round matchup between the Stars and the Avalanche. The Avalanche, obviously, when they lost Nichushkin during that series for the second playoffs in a row, obviously it really did hurt them and maybe was the difference maker. But now, if healthy is stacking up the way it is, there's a physicality that the Avs had that they didn't have last year. They still retain the speed that they have. In fact, they might even at certain points be faster given Natchez's speed. Yeah. And now you have a much more consistent net presence and the ability where you don't have to go with the same guy the whole time if you don't want to. There's so much mix and match, especially on the blue line side, Eric, because also we've seen Lindgren play with Manson in a big pairing. But there's also the opportunity to put Manson with Girard or Lindgren with Malinsky or something like that if you want to mix it up. They have so many options. If you're Jared Bednar, you have to be taking a deep breath going, this is what I wanted all year.
Yeah, I've been talking about it all year. My least favorite part about the Avalanche's group was not only did they have three or four guys on any given night that were playing 4 or 5 minutes, but they also had guys like Parker Kelly and Yoel Kiviranta and Miles Wood who are capable NHLers. Like, no disrespect to any of those players, but no competition. There was nobody breathing down their necks. Suddenly, Miles Wood's out of the lineup. Why? Because Yoel Kiviranta's playing better than him. Parker Kelly's playing better than him. Jack Jury's playing better than him. Logan O'Connor's playing better than him. That's what you want at the bottom of the lineup. You want options. You want to give Kiviranta a kick in the rear if he goes a week and plays bad, saying, hey, we got Jimmy Vesey and Miles Wood. These are guys that have played NHL games. You and I were both at number 38 last year when Miles Wood won that overtime game. Like, this is a guy that you can play in the playoffs. So now you have those options. You have the ability to challenge these guys, even on defense. Suddenly, Sam Malinsky looks great. I think it has something to do with the fact that Eric Johnson is back, and Eric Johnson will play more. Considering the fact that he's rarely played this year, he's got no bumps and bruises. He'll play more if you struggle. Now suddenly Malinsky looks good. You have an option. Do you play him with Girard? Do you play him with one of the bruisers in Manson and Lindgren? Like, it's all starting to make sense. But at the same time, you still have to make sure that that specific things happen. Number one, you stay healthy. Last year, you lost Logan O'Connor right around the trade deadline for the season. That was a big loss. You lost Jonathan Drouin in game 82. That was brutal. And then, of course, the big elephant in the room is Valeri Nichushkin. Like, the last two series, this is something, Sean, that I also, like, I always think back to. What are the last two series that Valeri Nichushkin finished? It was the one in Winnipeg and the one in Tampa Bay. The one in Winnipeg, he scored 7 goals in 5 games, undisputed best player on the Avalanche in those 5 games. The one in Tampa Bay, unequivocally, every member of that Stanley Cup championship team will tell you Val Nichushkin was their best player. Seattle, he leaves it halfway through. Dallas, he leaves it halfway through. The last two series this dude finished, he was the best player on the ice. You have this guy. You have Brock Nelson. You have Charlie Coyle. I would take 2022 version of Nazem Kadri over Brock Nelson, but over their entire career, pretty similar players. Yeah. However, I would take, no disrespect, 2025 Charlie Coyle over 2022 version of JT Compher. You have center depth. You have a better center core than you did in 2022. And that's aside from the fact where, like, if you're thinking of like this EA Sports world, what Nathan MacKinnon was in 2022 compared to 2025, his overall is probably like 3 or 4 points up. Like, he's a much better player now. He's way more valuable. You can play him 24 minutes a night compared to 21, 22 back then and get more out of him. So down the center, they are a better team. Like, there are so many things coming together about this team where on paper, it looks great. The things need to go your way. The goaltending needs to show up in the playoffs, which is something we've not seen from any of these two guys. They've never started in the playoffs before, which is fine. Georgiev hadn't started in the playoffs yet before he played in Seattle and in Winnipeg, and he won a series. So things are starting to stack up for the Avalanche. Now it's time for them to go out and do the thing.
It feels like a high wire act, though, because we know that the Av salary cap situation is tight coming into next season as it stands right now. And we know that that obviously will change. But as it stands today, the Avs have just under $8 million in cap space left for next season. That's total. Dead last in the league. Look at the guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents, and including some of the ones you just added. Brock Nelson, Ryan Lindgren, part of that as well. But Drouin, Kiviranta, Ranta, Vesey. These are all unrestricted free agents, and you'll have to at least re-up Sam Molinsky for something. He's a restricted free agent. That's before you even try to improve one outside the roster. You've traded for guys that are absolutely going to be rentals. They will not all be back. It's quite possible that none of them will be back, and if that's the case for the Avs, if they piled this all up for one big swing, because you talked about the capital that they have spent, you know, if they can't get it, a couple of these guys back on some sort of hometown discount, it's hard to look at them and say, wow, they'll be in the mix for the cup next season.
So there's a lot that could change. I totally get that. But I think number one, they did the right thing where they've set themselves up with the flexibility to revamp the roster in the summer if needed and bring guys back. So here's the reason why. Obviously, Brock Nelson's a pending UFA, but there's nothing saying you can't bring him back. He might cost you around $7.5-8 million. But there are ways to make that work. Number one, if it truly is the end of Gabriel Landeskog, you don't have $8.7 million in cap space. You have $15.7 million in cap space. Then you have a couple of wild cards. You have Josh Manson making $4.5 million, Ross Colton making $4 million, Miles Wood making $2.5 million. There's a lot of turnover that can still happen in that sense. So there are things that could happen there. You could get rid of Miles Wood and Ross Colton, which is $6.5 million, and bring in a very capable $5 million forward or a very capable $4 million forward and give the other three to Jonathan Drouin. Now suddenly you have two players that you like a whole heck of a lot more than what Ross Colton Miles would give you this year. Obviously, Miles Wood's the one that struggled more than Colton. Colton's offensive numbers are down, but he's still been a very valuable piece of this roster. So a lot of flexibility on that sense. Your goaltending is locked up. If Landeskog comes back in the playoffs and he's Gabe Landeskog and by some miracle he's the guy again, well, great. You don't even need to bring back Jonathan Drouin unless he takes a pay cut because he likes it here to be a third line winger. Like, there are so many things that could change between now and the offseason. But I think what the Avalanche have done is they've set themselves up very nicely. And again, it could all come crashing down on your face. Like, there's no guarantee that it works, but you've set yourself up nicely to go on a playoff run with guys that you trust. And then in the offseason, you have the ability to bring back certain pieces, move around some chairs. I love some of the things they did. I love that they know Marty Neches is locked in at 6.5, Jack Drury at 1.75, and they've locked in both their goalies. They didn't just trade for two goalies. They traded for two goalies that are under contract next year, making a combined $6.75 million. So you're starting to see where they can plug and play. And all of that is without even taking into account that we've only seen three games of him. If Charlie Coyle doesn't work out, nothing says you can't trade him in the offseason and free up another 5.4. Like, so many things can happen this summer. And Coyle has value. No matter how he plays with the Avalanche, he has trade value. Heck, he could play great, and you might still decide there's a free agent out there that we like better. We're going to bring back Brock Nelson, sign a free agent, clear up the $5.4 million, maybe get a second rounder for him or something. Like, they have enough flexibility to move things around this summer, but the core of their team is locked up. Their defense, they have those three guys locked up. They got Sam Malinsky, who's probably going to come back in some role. The goalies are locked up. Your top six minus that centerman is locked up. Gabe Landeskog comes back. He looks good. Great. Doesn't come back. $7 million. Go nuts. Brock Nelson, come on down. Like, there are so many things you can do with this roster. And I think that that is great because they've given up so much draft capital. Next year, when you start in October, you cannot have all the issues you and I just talked about, where you got four guys that are playing 5 minutes and a whole bunch of question marks, and Landeskog and Nichushkin and Lekkonen's injured to start the year, and Kiviranta's playing a bigger role, and Kelly, like, you can't have that next year. Next year, you have to start the season in October with a roster similar to what you're going to have in March after the deadline. And you will have the flexibility to do that. You just can't strike out on what you do between now and September. But obviously, all of that comes after a very exciting playoff race, a very exciting stretch run. I'm pumped beyond belief for that game on Sunday. Like, less than 72 hours from now, we're going to drop the puck against the Dallas Stars with Mikko Rantanen on a 1:30 p.m. start in Denver, Colorado on a sunny 70-degree day. Yeah. Like, it is going to be a blast. In a couple days.
I'm looking forward to it. But we haven't had a chance to talk about that, because obviously the Rantanen trade, pretty shocking. It'll be dissected for a while of if it was worth it for Mikko Rantanen to give up being on Nathan MacKinnon's wing with Cale Makar behind you. But regardless, that's done. It's interesting to me, though, because it feels like sometimes, even when you have a great player, even maybe an all-time great player for your franchise, sometimes you've maximized about where you could go for various reasons, and it's time to move on. Marty Natchez is 17 points in 17 games with the Avs.
Yeah.
More than that, some of the dynamic is different because his speed is really impactful. When you talk about the games in which he's been tracked, I've looked over that. Now, granted, it's a small sample size, and it's not really like it's a fair judgment, but Nathan MacKinnon is an extraordinarily fast player, and has his remarkable ability, speed, his ability to accelerate, get up to top speed. Natchez is not that, but Natchez's top speed is at or even a little bit above MacKinnon's. Yeah. And MacKinnon flat out admitted after the trade of Rantanen that maybe he could have been skating a little more on the power plays, but felt really comfortable with the way things shook up. And on the very first game Natchez came there, MacKinnon admitted, I probably could have had a goal had I been skating more, because I didn't expect Natchez to move and send it back to me. So it feels like this kind of shook Nathan MacKinnon up a little bit. And now the power play is so much more dynamic. There's so much movement all around because of the speed. It sounds maybe crazy to fans who have been longtime Avalanche fans, but is it possible that the power play in that top line are more dangerous with Marty Natchez than it was with Mikko Rantanen?
The short answer, I think, is yes, but it's also because of what, like, unfortunately in the NHL, you got to take salary cap into the equation. It's got to be in the equation with every decision you make. Part of that decision is the salary cap. Yes, it is far more dangerous because you have a $6.5 million Natchez and you're going to have him next year, and you might have a $7 million Brock Nelson that you probably couldn't if Mikko Rantanen was making 13 or whatever, 12 and a half. So, but like, the short answer is yes. Like, there's something about that MacKinnon and Natchez connection that I really, really like. Even if Marty Natchez doesn't have the same release as Mikko Rantanen, and Natchez is going to consistently give you 85 to 90 points, you'll make up that offense elsewhere. It doesn't have to be Mikko Rantanen out there putting 105 points. Like, I've started to connect the dots. We've heard from Mikko's agent, Andy Scott. He was on a podcast a couple of days ago, a radio show. We've heard from Eric Tulsky, the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. We've heard from Mikko Rantanen himself. We've obviously heard a little bit from Chris McFarland as well. What I've started to piece together from this entire situation, and I could be wrong, but the Avalanche decided it's time to move on. Like, it's simple as that. I think if I was to piece it together, and if I was to give everybody truth serum, it wasn't about negotiations going bad. It was about Colorado saw the last 2 years what it's like to pay three guys and have no depth. And no matter how good those three guys are, no matter how many records they break, you're still out in the first round, or you're Valeri Nichushkin suspension away from being out in six games in the second round. Where, you know, take the Toronto Maple Leafs, for example. Toronto's had this core four that they've paid a ton of money to, and everybody keeps talking about how you can't win with these guys. It's time to shake things up. Well, what have they done? They've re-signed William Nylander from $7 million up to $11.5 million. Now everybody's losing their mind that you have to re-sign Mitch Marner. People are going crazy that you have to bring back John Tavares on a lower number contract. Well, what have you done? The same exact thing.
Yeah.
You weren't winning with the four of them when the salary cap was $80 million and they were taking up 45%. What makes you think you're going to win with the four of them when the salary cap is $95 million and they're still taking up 40% because their money went up a little bit? So it's not to say that you can't win with Kale, Nate, and Mikko and whatever the heck else your salary cap allows you to put in. I just think the Avalanche made a decision and said, we've seen this story before. And they ultimately did the big cojones thing that the Tampa Bay Lightning did. And they basically told Steven Stamkos, hey, we'll give you an 8-year contract at $4 million per year, which is a massive underpay. Take it. Great. If you don't, we're better off moving on anyway. And we'll go sign Jake Gensel. Like they were ready to move on from Steven Stamkos. And they're like, if he takes this cheap contract, we'll keep him around. I think that's what the Avalanche did. They basically told Mikko Rantanen, we'll make you the highest paid winger. We'll offer you 11.75 because Artemi Panarin makes 11.64, but we're not going a penny over that. And I think at the time, Mikko still thought he would get 13 plus.
Right.
But I genuinely am curious if he came to the Avalanche and said, I would take 12. I'm genuinely curious if the Avalanche would even done it. They would have been like, no, 11.75, take it or leave it, because we are prepared for this next plan. And ultimately, that's what it feels like happened. I genuinely think, is it the right decision? Is it the wrong decision? We're about to find out. I'm not here to debate if it's the right or wrong decision. I just think Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic made a decision. We have three guys making up this much of the salary cap space. With the pay raise that he's getting and with the pay raise Makar's about to get, we are not ready to continue this trend. We're making this decision.
Well, you brought up the Tampa Bay Lightning when they made those decisions, and Julien Brisebois, their GM, famously said, I'd rather try and win the cup and fail than fail to try. And it appears that the Avs are barring from that. And in the end, hey, Mikko Rantanen is 11th in the league in scoring with 73 points. Here's Marty Natchez in 13th with 72 points.
Crazy,
so,
right? Yeah,
so far so good for the Avalanche. Obviously we'll see how they do against the Flames. Not a team to overlook. They are in playoff position at the final wild card at the moment, but yes, that Sunday game is something, and it's going to be hard not to read too much into it a little bit, because we're not that far away from an almost certain playoff series. But boy, these teams want to get the measure of each other on Sunday.
I'm so excited. Like, and the funny thing is, like, last year the Avalanche had a game in April with the Winnipeg Jets before what looked like a guaranteed first round matchup, and the Jets came to Ball Arena and shut them out 7-0. Then what happened in the playoffs? So like, I don't want to put too much value into what this Sunday game is, but it's going to be a blast. I think Mikko Rantanen is going to score a goal. It seems like it's going to come out that way. Are the Avs going to win or not? We'll see. But I would love for both of these teams to get through their games on Friday fully healthy. I would love for both of these teams to flex their muscles on Sunday. Obviously, Dallas is missing Haskin and Sagan. We already know that, but nobody else goes out on either side. I want to see these two guys go at each other on Sunday. I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. It will be a lot of fun. Make sure you catch up with the latest on the Avs, Ringside with Arif Dean, the podcast there, and check him out over ColoradoHockeyNow.com as well. Arif, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.